Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Ooh, hello, mic check.
Hola, Nicolas.
What's happening?
Estou aprendendo português.
Oh, I like it. It sounds good.
I got to work on my accent a little bit.
How are you learning it? Are you using an app? Are you reading a book?
Nope.
Listening to a tape? What?
So I'm doing two things.
Okay.
So I'm doing Memrise, which is, it's kind of like a flashcard app. And it's really good because like it tests you on the vocabulary and, like old school flashcards. So it gives you like the Portuguese word and then it gives you options and you choose the English translation. And then, and then it'll do like the English word. You have to pick the Portuguese word. And then once you've repeated it a few times, it'll have you type out the word. And it doesn't give you a full, like keyboard, but it gives you like the letters to make the word plus a couple extra ones. It's pretty cool and it works well. I've been doing, you know, I love language, right, Nick? So I've been doing a lot of research on language learning. And one of the things that I learned was that a flashcard type app is one of the best ways to do it partially because of the repetition. But a lot of these are smart enough where it's not like old school flashcard apps where it's just like one word. It can also like detect patterns in how you're learning the word. So like if it gives it to you three times and you miss it one time, it might not give it to you again for another day. But then if you missed it like every single time, you might see it again the next time you do a word review. Or if you get all of them right, you might not see it for like a month down the line. So it's pretty sweet.
Oh, that's neat.
Yep, so I'm doing that. And then I started, I don't know if I ever, I think I talked about it on the show. The Netflix original series, The 3%.
You might have brought that up.
I don't know if we talked about it. But, you know, I love me some post-apocalyptic stuff. And, it's a post-apocalyptic show, called The 3%, and it's from Brazil. So it's originally in Portuguese. And I've already seen season one. I just started season two and I usually don't do this, but I was doing the English dub because they do have an English dub. But I was like, you know what? I'm trying to learn Portuguese. So I restarted the whole show from season one, episode one, and I'm going to listen to it just in Portuguese with no subtitles or anything. Just to get like acclimated to the actual spoken language.
That's pretty cool.
Yep.
So, I didn't know if you were using Duolingo or there's another, language program. God, I can't recall what it is, but I can get it free through my library.
Oh, nice.
And it's a very easy, not easy one, but I guess it's been like tested pretty well and it's pretty strong for retention.
Like Rosetta Stone like or Pilsner or something?
It's more recent than that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it isn't just listen and repeat type of thing.
Nice.
But I'll get the name. Maybe your local library gets it for free. So
nice. Yeah, I think I'm going to do some Duolingo too. The difference is with Duolingo, you get a lot of pictures. So if you're like a really good visual learner, then it works really well.
Right.
But I'm also trying to make sure I get the spelling correctly.
Sure.
Because, Portuguese has a lot of like diacritical vowels, with like accents and stuff like that. So if you see a picture, I'm not going to like understand how to write the word also. You know what I mean?
True. Yeah. I think you need a little bit of a blend for both. So so the 3% was the thing that inspired you?
No.
Go down the Portuguese route?
No. So here's the funny thing. We have a family chat, me and my brothers and my dad. And every so often we like, send a couple messages back and forth or whatever. And, we were talking about something. I can't remember what it was. And it reminded me that Lucas had done, what did he do? He didn't do 23andMe. He did Ancestry.com. They have a DNA testing thing. And it gives you like your genealogy. And so it got me thinking about it. And I was like, hey dude, why don't you send me that thing? And he sent it to me and, the way that the breakdown came up was like 40% Portuguese. Cause I think it was my dad's mom or my dad's grandma was Portuguese. So I was like, well, you know what? Like, I have Portuguese in the family. I might as well like learn some of the language. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm fluent in English. I'm fluent in Spanish. I speak quite a bit of Italian, although I really should probably brush up my Italian. But I was thinking about it and I was like, you know what? Like, this is the funny thing. I've always hated Portuguese. I think Portuguese is one of the ugliest sounding languages ever.
Yikes.
So because I grew up listening to a lot of Spanish, I'm used to the way Spanish is spoken. And, mm-hmm. and the joke has always been that Portuguese is like a badly spoken Spanish, right? Mm. Because it is. But because I'm so into languages and I've been watching a lot of like sound evolution stuff, mm-hmm. how like one language morphs into another.
Sure.
And, I found it really interesting because, by the way, I watched Arrival again for the 50th time. And, so of course, you know, language is a big part of that movie. And I was like, you know what? Mm-hmm. I'm gonna brush up some of my linguistic stuff. And, I saw a bunch of stuff on like how Latin became all the Romance languages, which is fascinating.
Mm.
So I've been watching a lot of stuff on like Romanian, for example, which is really weird. Cause Romanian is one of the closest languages to the original Latin. But nobody thinks about it cause they're like Eastern European. You know what I mean? So when you think Romanian, you think more like it's a Slavic country. But they speak a Romance language. But a lot of the grammar and vocabulary was kind of changed because of the proximity to Slavic languages. So it sounds very different, but if I like see the word, if I read some of the words, I can understand a lot of it because of my familiarity with Italian and Spanish. So, and it's kind of the same thing with Portuguese.
So now you want to go back and visit your homeland.
I don't know about that.
Well, you might.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Hey, all I know is if I learned Italian, you know where I would want to go?
Italy. Yeah, makes sense.
Yes.
Makes sense. Well, you know, Portuguese is the sixth widest spoken language in the world.
Mm-hmm.
There's only 10 million Portuguese people in Portugal, but there's like 300 million Portuguese speakers in Brazil.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Maybe you just want to go visit Brazil. What do you think?
I've been to Brazil once. I went to Rio when I was tiny, so I don't remember any of it.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
But yeah, it was funny too because, I texted my dad, that I was learning Portuguese. And so.
And this is his mother?
Yeah.
Who came from Portugal?
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
And so he like replies to me in Portuguese and I'm like, you motherfucker.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, you motherfucker. Why didn't you ever tell me you spoke some Portuguese? So yeah.
So you never heard it from him?
No, I never
heard
it.
Your whole life?
No. No.
What the hell?
No. And I mean,
he's
like
living a double life.
Apparently he worked in Brazil for a few months also. So he picked some up
what
there.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Nelson,
get with the program.
I know. Share this stuff with your sons. What the hell? Now I got to say that would be sort of cool to like, hey dad, why don't we go back to where grandma grew up and blah, blah, you know, just even if you just did it like a quick trip and then went somewhere else, that would be pretty cool to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I've been thinking about stuff like that, especially now that my parents are getting older.
Mm.
It's like, what do they really, where would they want to go that I can be like, you know what? I'm going to take you there. It's just going to be me and you.
Right.
And, you know, cause it's like, how many years do you have with them? You know, you don't know.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. I've been thinking about that a lot. Actually, it's pretty weird, like the coincidence sometimes. So on my mom's side of the family, her family is from, Catalan, which is like the northern province. It's in Spain, but it's north of Portugal. So a lot of
her mother and father or
her grandfather,
like, okay. So two generations removed.
Yeah. 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 On her dad's side of the family.
Yes. Okay. Go on.
So, and because of all my research, I've learned that the dialect in that region of the country is very similar to Portuguese, because of the way that they're based on the peninsula, they kind of evolve similarly. And then,
so that might have been like a nomadic tribe type of thing.
Yeah, maybe.
And then, wow, that's fascinating.
And then on my mom's side of the family, they're Basque. So I started doing some research on Basque, but let me tell you, Nick, I am not learning Basque. Not learning Basque.
Not the most romantic language.
Not the most romantic language, number one. Number two is one of the few language isolates in Europe. So there's no other language that it's related to.
Yep.
So I can't even like pick out vocabulary that I can maybe kind of understand.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, you know, like Portuguese is coming along pretty easy because it, you know, Italian and Spanish, but like
sure.
Basque, where I shared no vocabulary, mm-hmm. it's much more difficult.
Yeah. My father, when I was growing up, God, I must have been in about seventh grade, eighth grade when I was debating on like taking a language leading to high school. And I asked my dad, because I knew he was an altar boy when he was growing up. So I asked him like, oh, how hard or easy is Latin? Because he had to know it for when he was young, all masses were said in Latin.
Right, right.
And the priest didn't face the assembly, he faced the cross. He faced the altar. So his back was to the assembly. And it was all said in Latin. Everybody had to learn Latin. And especially as an altar boy, the priest, while doing the mass, would only speak in Latin, not just to the congregation, but to them. So if he had special instructions, he would say them in Latin, and then you were expected to respond back in Latin. And then once mass is over, you know, English. So I asked him, like, hey, how hard or easy was that? And he goes, it's such a dying language. He goes, I would not recommend taking that whatsoever.
Yeah. So here's the weird thing. So when I was, how old was I? I think it was in seventh grade.
Mm-hmm.
It was mandatory that we take Latin.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. I went to private school. So it was a little different.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So yeah.
It was mandatory we take 2 years of Latin. So I took Latin seventh and eighth grade. Mm. And I hated it.
Sure.
Because number one, I didn't want to learn it. Number two, I would never use it. And, mm-hmm. and number three, the tense structure of Latin is extremely complicated, right? So mm-hmm. you have a lot of verb endings. And so I hate it. And oddly enough, I took German for 5 years and German was the same way. But you know, I hate it. So I was like, you know what? I'm never going to use this. I'm not going to continue with it. And some people continue with it and most didn't, right? Most people went to like French. There were a couple people that took like Russian. Some people took, Spanish. Well, a lot of people took Spanish. And then some people took like Japanese. Cause we had a few languages that we could learn in school. And nice. I decided to go the German way because at the time I started dating a girl whose family was German.
Oh boy. Okay.
Right. And I was like, oh, yeah. Like this will be cool. Right. Like I can talk to her, like her grandparents or her aunts and uncles or whatever in German.
When we grow old, we'll talk in German to each other.
I never thought
fast forward 18 months and you're on to the new, next girl.
I don't think it was even that long. We did it like 6 months. But I took German for 5 years. And, mm-hmm. But it was good though, right? Because as an English speaker, you learn a lot about English based on the way that German is structured, even though German is very different. But when I got to 11th grade,
mm-hmm.
I decided to take a Latin course because by that, well, maybe it was 10th grade, because by that point, you're trying to get ready for SATs, right? And so having been exposed to so many languages, I'm like, well, I should take this Greek and Latin roots course. And it wasn't like you learn Greek or Latin. It's Greek and Latin roots. So you learn about like the phonology of those languages and how those words become English words.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a result, I was able to expand my vocabulary quite a bit because I was able to understand like where the English words come from. And even if I don't know what it means, by having this knowledge of what the root words are,
right.
And again, from my experience from other languages, then I'm able to tell what the word means without ever having to look it up.
Yeah, you can phonetically figure that out.
Yeah, Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
There's a good basis for that.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it just, but then you have to learn Latin and German. Oh boy.
Mm.
Not the most flowery language.
No. German's rough.
Yeah, I wish, see, the bad thing is by the time I discovered, Italian film and French film, I was a junior in high school. So I already had to pick a language and it was like, dang it. If only I could pick Italian or French, because I would love to watch those movies and turn off the subtitles, because Fellini is fun and Jean Cocteau is fun.
Right.
But
right.
I want to listen to it in French. Well, I do listen to it in French, but I want to turn off the subtitles.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I gotcha. Yeah. See, I never wanted to learn French. And the thing with French for me was the same issue that I've always had with Portuguese, is that you have all these like guttural sound changes that just seem ugly to me, which is weird because a lot of people love French because it sounds beautiful. And I think French sounds gross.
Oh, I think it sounds beautiful, but I know I would clunkify that so bad. Oof. Mm-hmm. A French person would listen to me and be like, are you speaking pig Latin French? What are you trying to do? Oh, that's so ugly. You're mutilating the language, good sir.
I hope no one listens to this episode. They're gonna be like, what the fuck is happening right now?
Yeah, this is the Nerdy Legion.
Yeah, listen.
Martin's learning Portuguese. So guess what? We're talking about languages. So
let me tell you, Nick, of all, and I've had this conversation with people before, of all the podcasts that I've ever done, this one is always the most fun. And the reason it's always the most fun is because I don't feel like we need to talk about anything particular. You know what I mean?
No, not at all.
So
yeah.
For that reason, it makes it fun. But
no agenda.
I agree. Matter of fact, I just watched something on Danish.
Did you see my tweet yesterday?
No.
When I was talking about Ingmar Bergman?
No, I haven't been on Twitter in like 3 days.
Speaking of Danish, ooh. Because I started Invisibles Book 4.
Oh, yeah, right.
And the Brian Boland cover is a homage to Ingmar Bergman's Seventh Seal.
Nice.
Yeah, that's why I was like, oh, when you brought up Danish, I'm like, whoever brings up Danish? Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, you know, I almost thought about learning. Here's the thing. And it's not even because of anything. Sometimes like people that I end up dating makes me interested in things. So the woman that I dated before I dated Zoe's mom was Danish.
Ah.
Well, like she didn't, she spoke some Danish. And her parents spoke Danish, but like they've been here for like, I don't know, 6 generations.
Sure.
So it wasn't like a first language. But I was like, oh, that's fascinating. And I've always heard about Danish, how it's in many ways very similar to English in the way that the vocabulary has progressed from Germanic languages. So I was watching this video on Danish. Was it yesterday, the day before? I can't remember. And it was really interesting. It was about there's like this triangle, a language triangle between Danish, Norwegian, and Switzerland. Is that Swedish? Yeah. Between those three languages, and how speakers of those three languages can understand each other. Kind of like, you know, if you speak Spanish, you can probably figure out Italian or Portuguese. Just like if you're reading it, if you're speaking it, it might be a little different, but at least reading the words, right? Like even French, reading the words, you can maybe figure it out. And so there's like this triangle. But like the triangle is very different, right? So like Norwegians, so Danish people can understand Norwegian and Swedish pretty well without ever having studied the language. Okay. Norwegians can understand Danish better than Swedish. Swedes can understand Norwegian better than Danish. and the reason, and this is the fascinating thing about this video, is that it was because of the way that the languages evolved out of Old Norse, and how because Denmark is kind of below Switzerland and Norway, they had more contact with other languages. And so there were a lot of like vowel changes and vocabulary additions from French. It's one of the few countries that doesn't have like dialects of the language, right? So like, in the U.S., for example, right? Like, depending where you go, there's a dialect, right? So Northeastern English, you can understand it if you're in the South, but like there's a lot of idioms that you wouldn't understand, right? Same with like,
Can I throw out to you just a quick tangent?
Oh yeah.
Have you ever seen the Netflix special, the stand-up comedy special of Fred Armiston?
Oh yeah. We watched that a couple weeks ago.
Holy shit. Cause totally what you're talking about right here and your love of, languages and dialects. Fred Armiston does this little bit in there that, and you've already seen it, you know, I'm just trying to explain it to the listener, that he goes through every American dialect and accent from the East Coast to the West Coast. And the way he goes across that map and changes just the accents, or like, this is more out of your nose. This is more nasally. It goes up, like every word goes up. And then he gives examples as he's like turning each accent and dialect like into the next. So fascinating. And I wish I would have remembered that, because I know your love of language, and that little 5-minute chunk, you might have hated the rest of the stand-up, but that part right there, God, there's no way that didn't speak to you. Oh my God, I thought it was hilarious.
No, it's funny they should mention that, because it might have been after he did that special. He went on Jimmy Fallon's show, and he did that skit, the accent thing. Well, I mean, he didn't do the skit, but Jimmy asked him about the accents, so he did like a shortened version of it. And it was awesome. It was awesome. In fact, if you're interested in that stuff, of all places, Wired Magazine, their YouTube channel, the last, I don't know if it's the last video, but the one they posted yesterday, is about, movie accents. And they have a dialect coach that coaches actors to properly speak in whatever accent they need to speak in for a role. He's been on there a couple times before, and I love every time he's on there, I watch those videos because they're awesome. But he did, 28 movie accents and just did like a whole list. From like the really good ones to the really bad ones. And what's interesting though is he didn't actually be like, okay, like, what's the girl's name from Hunger Games?
Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence. So she did that Sparrow movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she's got a Russian accent. So like hers wasn't very good. But sure. The interesting thing is he explains to you why it's not good. And then.
Ooh, that's fun.
And that's when it becomes interesting, because he's not like demeaning the role. He explains like, well, she did this with this vowel. Like, can you hear the sound of this vowel? And they played the little clip. And he's like, so she does this, but if you were Russian, you wouldn't do that. Like your tongue would be in this place and not this place.
So he would be pointing out like, if that person was from Louisiana, that Southern drawl would not accent this part of the word. It would accent this part of the word.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I love that. Okay. I will have to go on to the Wired YouTube channel and subscribe.
Yeah, it's great, dude. It's great.
Okay.
Well, a lot of the videos aren't great, but the ones with this guy are fantastic.
Hey, Wired's good. I like Wired.
Oh yeah, Wired's great. I still read Wired. Yeah. I've been reading Wired for, God, I don't even know, 20 years probably.
I was going to say, I don't know of a time when I wasn't reading Wired.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a great magazine.
Oh man. So, and again, all this stems from watching Arrival once again.
Yeah, I know. You told me you went down an 8-hour rabbit hole of just language and linguistics videos.
So we talked last Thursday. It's now Wednesday. So I've probably watched another 20 hours of language content in the meantime. That's partially the reason why my podcast doesn't come out, because I've just been so enthralled with this language stuff. That I've been just devoting my time to that.
You got to follow your passions when they hit. So
yeah.
No, but okay. Now, if you could, you have a little bit more years before retirement than I do. Would you ever think to go back and get a degree so you could be like a linguistics professor or something like that? Well, would you ever want to follow your passion that way?
So when I was in 11th grade, I had a vision.
Ooh.
And in this vision, I was a professor somewhere. and I had a gigantic gray beard.
Oh.
And now at just over 37, I think that's right. I don't remember my birthday.
Sure.
We'll say that. That sounds good.
Yeah.
What year is this? Yeah, 37. So now at 37, I've decided to grow my beard out.
Oh. So, with the shaved head?
Not yet.
Oh, interesting.
I'm trying to gain the courage to shave my head.
We have to go down this rabbit hole. How long will you let that beard go? Will it be manicured? Will it be big and bushy like a David Letterman beard? Or will you have some form to it?
So I've been talking about growing my beard out for at least 2, probably 3, maybe even 4 years.
Nice.
Okay. So my wife and I have been married for a little over 5 years, 5.5 years.
So you've been prepping her half the time.
So I've been saying this pretty much the entire time we've been married.
This is coming. Prep yourself.
and she doesn't care. Here's the thing.
Yeah,
when I was growing up, I hated facial hair.
Mm.
Right? And I think it's one of those things like when you're young, you don't want to have like facial hair. You know what I mean? It makes you look older. You just want to like have fun, whatever. And so I never did. Like I would.
I was the opposite.
Oh, were you?
But, okay. Well, I understand your mindset.
But you're also a little bit older, so you're, you know, in a slightly different generation. I think in your generation, it's maybe a little more normal to have facial hair at a younger age.
No. When I wanted to grow out facial hair, and I did the Billy Goat goatee, and that was based on seeing Adam Yauch from the Beastie Boys during Paul's Boutique. He had the Billy Goat goatee, and I'm like, that looks awesome. So I grew that out, which became the tips of the mustache going into, you know how youngsters can't grow that little area.
Yeah,
I am all Sasquatch. So that area, never an issue. So I grew that into a very long, almost Fu Manchu that went down the Billy Goat. And when I was at university, I had sideburns that rivaled Tom Jones in the early 70s.
You know, that's funny. I've always had sideburns.
I mean, these were like
big bushy old ones.
Mutton chops all the way almost down the side of my face. Like, let me tell you, when I was going back to your original point, being clean shaven, when I was at university with this look, there was nary a woman to be found. Because women don't want to date that freako. I never had an issue growing facial hair. And then guess what? Last year, right around this time, for Movember, which I don't know if your company participates in Movember, but we do.
No.
Our company does, so it's like all the dudes grow out facial hair, and then you're doing this for like, what is it? Men's Cancer Month or something?
Yep.
So all through November, hence Movember, you're growing out a mustache or facial hair or whatever, and it's just it's a charity drive.
Yep.
And I did it last year, trying to be a team player. And not that it looked bad. It actually looked good because I'm sort of salt and pepper. And when it was growing in, for some odd reason, it was part of my beard became red. And I don't have any red hair. Hmm. No one in my family has red hair. But it was sort of like silver fox with red thrown in. But the thing that – and it looked good. For me, it looked good. But for me, I've become more OCD. And – having more oil on my face, no matter how many showers I took, I always felt greasy and dirty.
Mm.
So I could, there's no way I will be a hairy lad moving forward. I cannot stand how greasy it felt. Oh my God. So kudos to you growing the beard.
Dude, you've got to find a picture of you with these mutton chops so I can make it like the album cover for this show.
I will try to find. They will be difficult to find, but I will reach out to a couple people that I think might have something. I'm looking at you, Gunderstorm.
Oh! I will message Gunny and find out. So, but anyway, that's fine. So, you know, when I was in that age, and it could have been part of the culture in the school that I was in, facial hair was not a thing. Matter of fact, though, a little side note, I had a friend, from seventh grade through all the way through high school, Alex Meir. I hope you're not listening to this podcast. This man had a full grown beard in seventh grade.
Jeez, he was the mutant of the pre-high school class.
Yeah.
I'm so jealous. There's always one in every school. Wow.
Dude, he was on the wrestling team. We called him Jesus.
Of course he was.
We called him Jesus.
And isn't it a shocker? Like, boy, his parents just let him go. Let him do it.
Yeah, right? At seventh grade? Like, what seventh grader that you know has a full grown beard and like hair down, you know, past his shoulders?
Hell yeah.
And not just
he got away with everything.
Not just that, like, you know, he had good genes. And let me tell you why. Because Alex Meir was a wrestling champion. Okay. This guy in seventh grade was freaking jacked.
Oh, damn him.
Jacked.
He was wise to the world in seventh grade already.
Dude, in seventh grade, he was dating a 10th grader.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He knew the secrets of life way before us.
I'm telling you. Alex Meir, you're my hero. Episode title.
Yeah.
I hope he's not listening. He's going to Google himself and be like, now, who are these fools?
And then he'd be like, oh, that's Martin. Yeah.
I haven't talked to him in like 20 years, dude.
we only said pleasant things about him.
That's true. Very true. So, yeah,
don't come at us.
So I was never into the facial hair thing. Like I tried, you know, I dabbled. I did like the little, the runway strip. I had that for a little while.
The pubic runway strip?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. The pubic runway strip, also a great episode title. I did, the goatee with no mustache. I did the goatee with the mustache. But nice. I never did the full beard. I never did just the mustache either. But never did the full beard, but I always had long sideburns. But they were always trimmed. They were mutton chops.
Okay. Right.
I had them down, not quite to my jaw, but you know, they were pretty down low.
Nice.
And it was kind of funny because, you know, like my dad was always very clean cut. So he had his sideburns like up where, you know, clean cut people have them over the ear or whatever, like around that area. Right. You know what I mean?
He's a respectable lad.
Yeah. Yeah. But dude, I've seen Nelson in the '70s.
Oh, hell yeah.
Talk about some
ladies man Nelson.
Let me tell you, he had to be like 160 pounds, 6'1".
Oh, he had watch out, ladies.
He had a little fake fro going. He had the mutton chops.
Hell yeah.
The bell bottoms. Yeah. Yeah. Nelson was pimping.
Oh God. Yeah. Good for him. Good for him.
I think,
episode title, Nelson was pimping.
I think that's why he left the Navy. I think they're like, screw this guy. he's something else.
He's too hot for the Navy. Get him out of there.
So, anyway, so I never dabbled. But fast forward, like, I don't know, 6-7 more years. So after my first wife and I separated, I started dating this girl, and as a joke one time, like, I hadn't shaved all week. And we're going to go bar hopping because we went bar hopping every Friday and Saturday. And, I hadn't shaved and, she was ready to go. And I was like, well, we can't leave yet. I got to shave, right? Because it's okay for a woman to take 3 days in the shower, but I can't spend 30 seconds shaving my face. So, she's like, no, she's like, the beard looks great. Just leave it. We'll go. So I was like, all right.
Uh-oh.
So after that, I just didn't shave.
Cause, right.
Cause by that
you
point.
You just got permission. The beard looks great. As you're like, now I'm going to grow it. I'm going to become Hasidic. Look at me go.
I was like, you know what? The beard does look great.
You are right.
Because I never even tried it, dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like as soon as I got some stubble, I shaved that shit off.
Of course.
But I was like, yeah, it does look good. So I left it. But I mean, it was always short, right? So I would like trim it every, like, you know, 3 days or whatever with the clippers.
Sure.
Know? So it was like a five, not quite a 5 o'clock shadow, but like really short.
Oh, you were doing like a Miami Vice thing.
Yeah, like a Miami Vice thing. There you go.
Or sorry, a George Michael thing.
Well, yeah, something like that.
But there's nothing wrong with that. He had it manicured. He had it tight and bright.
Mine looked better though, because I have darker hair. You know what I mean? So like it filled in better. But I've had that for, well, shit, like at least 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, you know, I want to grow a beard out. Right. Like a real beard. But I was like, I can't do it. So finally I psyched myself into it. I was like, you know what? I'm going to fucking do this.
Yeah.
And this was before I met my wife. And so I did it. But then it got like really itchy around my chin.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I can't do this. I'm just going to go back to the manicure look. So I did for forever. And then like a year into our marriage, I can't remember what it was. Something happened. I was like, you know what? That's a good look. I know what it was. It was a fucking joke. I saw a picture of this goddamn hipster on the internet. You've probably seen these. I think we've shared them. But there's a guy that does like shapes with his beard. Like he's done the bird's nest or whatever, a cup holder with his beard. Anyway, I saw that.
He does all the facial waxing.
Yeah,
facial hair. Yeah.
So I was like, that's fucking cool. I'm going to do that with my beard. She's like, no, you're not. I was like, well, fuck you. Don't tell me I'm not. So I started growing my beard out.
I have to say that guy takes it to an unusual crazy level. That's just a crazy person level.
Yeah.
But I gotta say, when I go into Target and I see all of this, and right now, Mike Myers, turn off the podcast because it ain't gonna get any better. We are gonna just be more and more pretentious. Let's welcome in Bill Bomer.
Oh, wait, we're gonna get more pretentious in a few, but continue.
Hell yeah, but I just want Mike to turn it off because it ain't gonna ever, it's not gonna turn around. This ain't gonna turn around. But every time I go into a Target and I see, like, oh, facial, you know, like mustache wax or beard wax or whatever. And some of it, of course, I'm like, beard shampoo, come on, give me a break. But when I see the wax, I'm always like, dang, I wish I had facial hair because I would rock that stuff. Come on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we ain't just curling up the tips. Give me a break. Uh-uh. It's going to look awesome.
So at that point, I tried. But again, it got itchy. So I ended up trimming it. Mm-hmm. And it was funny because like, I grew it out for like 2 weeks maybe. And my wife really liked it. Even the kids liked it. And matter of fact, when I ended up trimming it again, Zoe's like, Daddy, why'd you shave your beard? And I was like, I didn't shave my beard. I still have my beard. She's like, no, it was better before. And I was like, yeah, but it gets so itchy. You know what I mean? Like, I can't.
Mm-hmm,
so anyway, so every few months this would happen. Like I would grow it out for a week or two, but then it gets itchy and I just trim it back up.
Yeah.
Well, a few weeks ago, maybe like a month ago, we were on Discord and a friend of the show, Justin Ehart, was on there. And,
Dreamboat.
He is a dreamboat.
Mm-hmm.
He's a dreamboat. He posted a picture of him at his farm, whatever. And, I was like, dude, that's an epic beard. Cause let me tell you, Justin's got an epic beard.
Mm-hmm,
you know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? And it looks good, right? It's long.
Yeah.
But it's very, very proper, very, very trim.
It's managed. It's nice. Yes.
Yeah. It's very well done.
So it's like, not somebody hanging out at the Fish concert. No,
not at all. Not at all. So I was like, dude, your beard looks good. I was like, I'm going to grow a beard like that. He's like, the secret is argan oil.
Argan oil. I don't even know what that is.
I'm about to tell you. So I went on Amazon and I ordered some argan oil. And it's not like cheap. It was like, I don't know, $8 or $10 or whatever for the bottle.
Hey, do you want to look good? Do you want to look presentable? Do you want your wife to be interested in you?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. You get some argan oil. Spend some money, son.
Damn right. Damn right. You gotta, whatever the saying is. So. So I was like, argan oil.
You can't just roll out of bed. Come on. Put something into the presentation.
I mean, you could. I haven't brushed my hair in like 25 years.
Oh boy.
Well, but I trim it. Like it's always close crop.
Right.
So yeah. I don't need to. There's not enough hair to brush.
So get back to argan oil.
Yeah. Come on. Argan oil. So I was like, argan oil. Okay. So I looked it up and here's the funny thing. So apparently, argan oil is used a lot by like African American people because like, well, for one, argan is a tree that grows in Morocco. Apparently, mm-hmm. it's one of Morocco's like biggest exports.
Interesting.
And they've been using it for like centuries, for like skincare. Like it's really good for your skin, because it evaporates quickly. Even though it's an oil, it evaporates quickly, which is something I really like because I think we've talked about this before. I hate oily shit on my hands.
Yeah.
I don't use lotion because I hate that feeling in my hands. It feels like I've dipped my hand in a pile of shit. You know what I mean? I hate it.
Hence why I don't like, suntan lotion. You know, anti-sun lotion. Going to Vegas and happening to put that on, and granted, my wife got like a spray, so it wasn't as bad as the lotion, but still it made me feel dirty.
Yep.
It's like, why can't somebody develop a dry version or have it dry quickly? Come on!
Well, see, that's the thing. I don't mind it like on my skin, right? Mm-hmm. But I hate it on my hands and on my toes. Like, especially like...
toes?
Well, you never know. You never know.
You're such a pretty lady.
You gotta moisturize your feet. So,
oh my God.
But I hate it on my digits. Because, you know, your digits, you always feel them. Right? Like, that's the point of fingers, is to feel stuff. And when you have oily stuff on them, like, you feel it. And especially, like, down towards the base, like, near the web of the finger, you're like, ah, this fucking shit in my hands. You know what I mean? So, I hate oil, all kind. but it said evaporated quickly. I was like, oh, okay. So, anyway, apparently it's used a lot for African American products, for, like, skin conditioning, and, like, they put it in their hair and whatever. Apparently in Morocco, they also use it as food, because it's very nutritious. And so they put it in like salads or like couscous or whatever.
Weird.
Now don't put the stuff that you buy for skin or hair in your food. but there's that. So I got some and, I waited a couple of days for it to come in from Amazon and I put it on and it was the greatest thing ever. Because like, yeah, you know, you have that oily feeling, but it only lasts like, I don't know, 10 minutes and then like dissipates fairly quickly. And it gives you a nice sheen. You know what I mean? So that I can comb my beard. And it smells great. It smells great. When you first put it on, it smells like, citrus. Not quite oranges, not that strong, but you can definitely like smell the citrusy smell, which is great. Because you're like walking around and everything smells fucking delicious because you have this oil on your face like right below your nose. And then after like, I don't know, 30 minutes or so, it kind of gets like a nutty flavor and it's really good. It almost, smells like, I don't know if you ever had Frangelico.
Uh-uh.
Oh, you've never had Frangelico? No. Frangelico is a liquor made out of almonds, I believe. It is.
No, never had it.
Delicious. The first shot I ever had in my life, I was 16, and the girl I was dating at the time, who was Czech, by the way, I never tried to learn Czech, but she was Czech, like literally from the Czech Republic. She came when she was like, I don't know, 4 or 5.
The stories you could tell.
Oh, whew. Let me tell you, Czech people, beautiful. So,
beautiful.
Beautiful. Matter of fact, I met her when I learned, when I was learning German. So, I don't even know what I was saying right now. What was I saying?
The first time you had Frangelico.
Oh, Frangelico. The beauty of the Czech people had me all discombobulated.
I know. So, you were picturing mental scenes in your head.
Good times.
You went away. You left the podcast for a few seconds.
Yeah. Good times. So we used to hang out, in the East Village a lot. For people that don't know what that is, it's a little section of New York City, downtown. We used to hang out there a lot, and one day she's like, let's go to this bar. And I was like, dude, they're going to card us. She's like, no, they're not going to card us. It'll be fine. And they didn't. It was funny. They did not card us, even though we were obviously in high school. But, and she's like, she ordered Frangelico, and God, it's fucking delicious. Like, it was just a chilled shot of Frangelico.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's beautiful. You get that nutty almond taste in your mouth, and it's not like a very strong liquor. But you can definitely tell it's liquor. It's great. It's not cheap because, you know, it's hard to, make shit out of almonds, but it's really good. I highly recommend it. So if you're at a company party and they have Frangelico, then do that.
Give it a try.
Yeah, yeah. Because I don't think they make small bottles of it. I think they just make the one size, and it's pretty big. Anyway, so after
I gotta say, this is the most pinkies up episode I think we've ever done.
Oh, just wait. So
I love it. I love it. Frangelico.
So after like 30 minutes, it just, you start smelling this nutty flavor, and it's just fucking delicious. Like it almost makes you not want to eat because you feel like you just ate a bunch of nuts. You know what I mean? But yeah, you smell great.
Could you put it in your hair?
Well, yeah, I mean, I put it in my beard.
No, not beard. I'm saying like, could you use it as a hair product?
Yeah, I don't see why not. Like I said, the African Americans use it for their hair. So
yeah, I would like that smell.
Dude, I'm telling you. It's delicious.
Yeah. It smells fantastic.
It's delicious. So I've been using this argan oil for a couple of weeks. I haven't trimmed my beard in like 3 weeks. So it's getting to a good length now, right? So when I was
now, is there any patchiness, bad grow areas?
No.
Okay, that's good.
I do need to shave every couple of days, like around my cheek area, because I want to keep it like ripe, you know. Halfway around my cheeks.
You don't want to have hair going into your eyeballs. Yeah, is that what you're saying?
There you go. You get the point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're not David Letterman.
I'm not an animal. So, right. So I do keep it trimmed, around that area. And then of course my neck, like you don't want a neck beard.
No, gross. No. Nasty. And all the pimples and stuff. No.
Bump that.
So any other trimming, any other forms that this beard might go into?
I don't know yet. Oh, and I'm also doing a little scissor trim right nice. Around my lip.
Perfect. Yeah, you have to do that. Yeah. You can't be tasting your beard all day. Gross.
Yeah, no, you can't do that.
Don't be that person to like hold food in there. It's not fun and it's not funny.
So that's what I'm doing.
Can I give you a suggestion of a form? Mm-hmm. When you get off the podcast, look up and it's the cover for Thelonious Monk's, Monk's Dream. Mm. And he has a pretty trimmed down beard, but he has it coming to a point.
Oh.
And it looks really kick ass. It looks really, really sharp, but I think yours is more bushy. Like his is almost a billy goat, but it's sort of a little grown out. But I just love that it's like manicured into almost a point, not like
I see it. Yeah,
a crazy. Yeah. Like he waxed it. No, I think he trimmed the hair. So it just naturally became a soft point.
Yeah.
And every time I see that cover, I'm always like, if I grew out a beard, that's how I would go. That looks so pimp.
I'm looking at the cover. It's a good cover. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. That's a good facial style. Good facial hair.
Yeah.
Style. But
he's got
he's got no sideburns.
No, he doesn't.
You gotta have sideburns.
Yeah, I would think so. They're fun.
So I'm gonna see how this goes. And so far, pretty good, dude. Like I haven't been itchy at all. No ingrown hairs or anything like that. So it's good. It's good.
Is it soft? Does the argan oil make it soft?
It's pretty soft. Yeah.
Nice.
Although Zoe called me an old man because.
How dare her! What the hell?
So now that I'm growing my beard out, I don't really have gray hairs on my head, but I do have gray hairs on my beard.
Wow.
Because of my Basque ancestry, I had a lot of red in my beard. Mm-hmm. But which is also part of the reason I never grew it, because I thought it looked weird to have a lot of red on my face and I'm a dark haired person.
Yes.
But anyway, so because of that, I have a lot of gray in my beard. It's in particular around the sideburn area.
Oh,
so
I like that.
Yes. Well,
is it gray or white? White silver.
White.
Yeah, I think that looks pimp.
I agree because you know it's the Reed Richards look.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if here we go. People like it when we talk about comics. Let's do a comic one-liner. I don't know if
you're... Well, no, we just the best thing would be we just threw it out right there.
Yeah,
like
just threw it
it's
out
like
right
Reed
there.
Richards, and then we go right back into pinky up stuff.
have you read the new Fantastic Four book?
By Slott?
Yeah.
No, I haven't, okay. But I'm dying to.
I recommend it. It's very good. And Reed Richards has a very nice beard.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yep. Yep.
And how many Reed Richards are there?
Just one.
Okay.
Yep.
I was hoping that the the cavalcade of Reed Richards from Hickman's run would start piling in.
I don't know, dude. I didn't like that too much.
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was so fascinating. That was probably one of my favorite parts of the Hickman run.
The only one that I like is the one that's part of the Illuminati.
Yeah, he's fun.
Yeah.
I liked them all, but I also loved that he was sort of cheating on Sue by going and talking to them all the time.
Yeah.
You know, but he couldn't help himself.
You know what I love about this podcast? You know what I love about this podcast? Hey, we're not going to talk about comics today. Let's just leave it at that one-liner. Oh, wait, no. Let's talk about comics for the next 10 minutes.
I love that run.
So, so I have the white hairs around my sideburn area. It's just like, Danny, like you have a lot of gray hairs. And I was like, yep, I sure do. Because here's the thing, Nick. When you get to a certain age, you don't give a shit. You start to embrace it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Who gives a fuck? And
you should correct her and be like, they're white hairs, not gray hairs. Start calling Danny the silver fox. Thank you.
Yep, it's very true. Very true. So, but it works out
fine. Are you going to start wearing a silk scarf?
No.
Because it sounds like you're becoming very distinguished. I like this. I like this, Martin.
I'm gonna start wearing my ascot.
You're like, sorry, Dick. I stopped smoking cigarettes. Now I only smoke with a pipe. Like, ooh, very fancy.
That's funny though. My favorite teacher in high school, Mr. O'Toole, he was my English lit teacher. He looked like Chaucer. I don't know if you've ever seen paintings of Chaucer.
Yes.
But he looked like Chaucer and he smoked a pipe.
Nice.
And he was very dapper. He always wore like black slacks and a gray sports jacket.
Yeah. He knew what fit him.
Yeah. It was great.
He knew what style he was going for. My grandfather used to smoke a pipe, and it's the only type of tobacco that even to this day, if I smell it, it's like, oh, that's heavenly. Cause it just brings back thoughts of him.
That's funny.
Fantastic.
So I'm going to grow it out. I haven't decided on the shape yet. You know what I mean? Like, it's still growing, so I haven't decided. Right now so when I first started, I would just brush it, and it was just like, you know, whatever, brushing my hair, because I don't have, you know, I keep it short on the top. But now there's some resistance. You know what I mean? There's resistance.
Yeah.
I start combing it with my comb, and I see the hairs popping out of it. So, I don't know how long it is right now. I'd say, probably about an inch long. So I'm going to see where it goes. So every time, this is funny. Every time I see somebody with a beard in public, I ask them how long they've been growing their beard, because I'm very fascinated by this right now.
You're part of the beard cult.
Yeah. We have the beard cult now. So I'll see somebody out, like whatever, at the supermarket and be like, dude, that's an awesome beard. How long have you been growing that? And, nice. And they'd be like, oh, blah, 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 blah. I'd be like, yeah, I'm trying to grow my beard out. So I get tips and tricks on beard. And then I get like a range of how long it's going to take to get a certain look. You know what I mean? Right now it's looking like, probably close to a year, Nick.
Oh.
So it's going to be a pretty hefty beard.
It's going to be a present just for me when I see you at C2E2.
Let's see. C2E2 is in 6 months.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's going to be glorious.
It is. You're going to be flying that flag. Okay. Two things from what you just said. One, I have to ask you a question. First, I'll do the story. I was in Target, and I have such like sensitive skin, and I just freaking hate shaving. So I get my blades from Dollar Shave Club, cause they're the cheapest and they work just as good as the $18, standard blades that you would be buying through, you know, Target.
Let me throw this in there.
Okay.
You get yours from Dollar Shave Club.
Yes.
I get mine from Harry's.
Ah, good call.
Also available at Target.
Yeah.
Neither of which are sponsors of this podcast. Shame on you! Continue.
I know. Absolutely. So I still have to pick up, I don't buy their shaving cream. So I go to Target and I'm looking for shaving cream. And I don't like the cream stuff. I like the, like, out of a bottle, like the more, like, thicker version.
Yeah.
So I'm looking and complete stranger, just like you did to a guy in a grocery store, complete stranger, while I'm looking, you know, at my usual like Gillette gel, he goes, "Hey, you ever try this?" And he pointed over and I forget the brand name, but it's in like this little tube and it's pretty expensive compared to a Gillette. But guess what? Gillette owns the market. So that's how they, you know, price cut everybody.
Oh yeah.
And he shows this to me and he goes, "I've been using this for years and, you know, highly recommend, the cleanest shave you'll ever have. And the hair doesn't grow back near as fast." Hmm. And I just gave him like a, "Are you bullshitting me?" type smirk. Because on, in huge letters, on the packaging itself, right up front, Front Street, it says caffeinated.
Oh,
like I said, yeah. We're going down the pinkies up, yeah. Like road a lot right now, but I was like, caffeinated. And I looked over at him. I'm like, "You want me to put caffeine on my face?" And he goes, "I don't know if that's the magic, but it works like magic."
Huh.
And sure enough, I tried it, and it was the first time I ever went away from a shaving gel or shaving cream, you know, a Gillette-type product.
Mm-hmm.
This was the first one that I ever got, and sure enough, I don't know what magic's in that thing, but it was the best shave I had, and it actually stayed. Like, the hairs that came in weren't as, like, hard and rough.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I don't even know the product name. All I know is I found it at Target. I looked other places. I could never find it other than Target.
So, disclaimer, because I have done some research on caffeinated stuff.
Oh, okay.
Small disclaimer, there are some people that are extremely allergic to that stuff.
Oh, not me, my friend.
No, I'm know.
I'm drinking three large unsweet McDonald's iced teas every day. And guess who's putting straws in those drinks? This guy right here.
There I hear you.
No salt. There ain't no straw band here.
I hear you.
So I am not allergic to caffeine. But guess what? If you were, yeah, don't do that. Like, I was listening to one of Mike's podcasts, Mike Myers' podcast. We're both fans of his shows. Listen to him freely.
Yes. not a sponsor. Shame on him.
Yeah, it'd be great if he did, but sadly no. But he was complaining about hives.
Oh yeah.
And yeah. He was talking to Bill like, "Oh no, it's a fabric softener that we've used for years." I actually had hives so bad I went to a dermatologist and she said, "It doesn't matter. Your body can change."
Yep.
Or that same product for like fabric softener, laundry detergent, or even the bounce sheets. Those products have been on the market for ages. Your body can easily change that you could break out in hives. Or Tide tries cost-cutting measures and changes up some of the chemical compositions. So it's the same Tide, essentially, except they cheapened out on it. And that could bring on the hives. So ever since she brought that up, she's like, "Go, you know, all clear, no, whatever it is, no scents." And she goes, "Those like dryer sheets, don't use those."
Yep.
And ever since I did, I've never had hives ever since then. So it was interesting to hear that they were talking about like some of their laundry detergent. Cause I'm like, yeah. You know, you got to watch that type of stuff.
So
like anything with like smells on it.
Yep.
Like my dermatologist has been like, "Try not to use like body washes with a lot of like chemical, like smells and like scents, like try to go as natural as possible."
So I'm going to throw a couple things out here to you and they're going to be related,
yeah.
Even though they won't seem like they're related.
No, I'm done. Yeah, go.
So I agree with you. We use, All Free and Clear, also not a sponsor, shame on them. And it works great. We've been using it since my wife and I got married. That's what we use. Cause it's like the hypoallergenic stuff, right? It's got no scent, no nothing. It's a clear laundry detergent.
Yeah.
And it works great. Now my wife does use dryer sheets. She also uses the Downy beads when she does her laundry.
Sure.
I don't use any of that stuff. I just use the detergent. But I agree. Related to this, you know, your body, the cells get completely replenished every 7 years. So it is very important to keep an eye on that. Cause like I used to be allergic to strawberries and oranges when mm-hmm. I was little.
Yeah.
No longer allergic. So that's something to keep in mind.
Yeah. My mom turned 60 and all of a sudden she was allergic to shellfish.
Yep. Well, I mean, look at Paul.
Yeah, your body
right?
definitely changes.
Look at Paul.
Yeah.
Paul started out with just like gluten. So he cut out bread and now he's allergic to this and that and the other. So yeah.
Yeah.
It happens. Mm-hmm. So let me relate all these things together, because one thing that I've changed, number one, I'm going to comment on your shave cream. When I was growing up, I used to use Gillette or Barbasol, because that's what my dad used. Mm-hmm. As I got a little bit older, let's turn the pinkies up a little higher. I got some beard soap, well, not beard soap, like face soap. And did it the old school way with the brush. You know, you wet the brush and you put it in a little tub and you shake, and then it lathers up the soap in the little container and you use that to brush your beard, you know, or like your whole face if you're, you know, not having a beard, and then you shave that way. And the old
I thought you were going to say you had one of the hot shave cream dispensers.
Oh.
Remember those? I always wanted one because it's like, ooh, a hot cream dispenser. Yeah.
No. So for a long time, I did it the old school
way. Did you straight razor? Is this what you're going
for? No straight razor.
Okay, because I was going to say, boy, that's pinkies up.
Dude, once the Gillette Mach 5 came out, like we switched to that and never looked back. That's the only razor I used until I discovered Harry's. Again, shame on them for not being a sponsor, because I'm talking about their product. It's fantastic.
Yeah. The Mach 5 became so freaking expensive to buy, what was it, 3 blades for like $27?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Not anymore. Holy cats.
Well, they have good competition now.
They do.
Like Harry's and Dollar Shave Club. They should sponsor the show.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
So when I discovered Harry's, I switched to that and I switched to their shaving cream, which is fantastic, by the way. However,
oh, good.
However, small life hack. I no longer use it.
Hmm.
Because as you know, in my pinky up ways, I like to learn about stuff and learn new ways of doing things. And let me tell you, Nick, sometimes the old ways of doing things are actually quite good. So I no longer use shave cream on my face when I shave. I use hair conditioner. And let me tell you, if you never try this, you should try it and you can thank me later. Because hair conditioner is by far the best shaving cream I've ever used.
Huh.
Yeah.
I mean, in a pinch, I'll use shower gel.
Sure. I mean, you can use any soap, right?
Like, yeah,
you just want something to glide the blade on.
Yeah, you just don't want as much friction.
Yeah, yeah.
As a dry shave. But I'm usually in the shower while I'm shaving, sure. So I have a plethora of lotions I could be putting on my face.
Well, see, as a man with a beard, I can't do that, right? So when I was clean shaven, I shaved in the shower. But now that I have a beard, I have to, like, you know, make sure the neckline's good and all that. So
Hashtag cult of beard.
So I can't just, you know, nilly willy it.
Hashtag weirdo beardo.
Yes, exactly. But, but yeah, hair conditioner is fantastic. You only need like literally two drops of hair conditioner is enough to do my whole neck, right? So if you're doing your whole face, like, I don't know, 4 drops, it doesn't take a whole lot.
But even in the caffeinated, cause the caffeinated, when that comes out, it's like hair gel.
Mm.
Like it's in one of those type of like, you know, squishy, like almost toothpaste type consistency. Yeah. So really, and it even says right on it, like the size of a dime will be plenty.
Yep.
And ever since I switched over to that, instead of like a gel that you're squirting like the size of 2 ping pong balls worth into your hand that you'd never need that much. That's a crazy amount.
See, and this is where this podcast becomes professional and we bring it all the way back around. Because one of the things that I started doing is I changed my soap. Right. So for a long time I would use whatever, like body washes.
Yes.
But
Irish Spring.
Not Irish Spring. I would do Old Spice Fiji.
Okay.
Which smells great.
Sure.
But because, you know, we've talked about this. I've had some issues on my legs, And it's caused some skin irritations on my legs as well. I've had, it's not eczema. It's, not Propecia either. I don't know. It's like a mild eczema on my arms. Basically since I started playing football. So like middle school. And it's never really irritated me a whole bunch, but, you know, I get like bumps on my arms or whatever. And I wanted to, you know, I'm getting older, you know, my doctor yelled at me for not having a primary care physician. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to try to take care of things a little bit better.
And yeah, time to take care of Martin.
Yeah, exactly. So I did a little research and so I changed my, my shower regimen. One thing that I'm using is African black soap. And I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but it is a caffeinated soap because, unlike most soaps, so most soaps, this is weird, really weird too, by the way. I've very often been fascinated by soap making. Talk about pinky up. I've never made soap, by the way. But I find it like a fascinating chemical process. And most soap.
Ever since Fight Club, you've always wanted to make your own soap.
You know what? You might be right. Actually. Yeah. You might be right.
Yeah.
But I've always been really interested in that stuff. And most soaps is, whether you want to admit it or not, made from, an emulsion of animal fats and lye. Okay. That's the basis of soap making. But this soap is different. This soap is made, I don't know, it originated in, like Ghana maybe, like some part of Africa. And it's made with different stuff. So it's made with, like coconut oils and, cocoa butter, like those kind of things. And as a result, because it's made with cocoa beans, like ground up cocoa beans, basically they take like cocoa leaves and cocoa beans and cocoa leaves and, coconut leaves and I don't know, some other crap and they burn into a pile. And, that's actually how you make lye, by the way. You take vegetable matter and you burn it and then you put it into a container. You put water in it and you can actually scoop the lye off the top. By the way, don't touch it because it'll burn to your skin. Just like if you've seen Fight Club, you would know that. Fight Club is actually a documentary and, what's that called? A public service announcement. So, but yeah, that's how you make lye for soap. And then you mix it in with animal fat and that neutralizes the lye and the result is soap. So that's why you're able to use it.
Now, does your soap smell, since they use coca, does your soap smell like chocolate?
It doesn't smell like chocolate, but it's definitely got that cocoa butter scent.
Okay, gotcha.
And here's the thing. It does lather pretty well. Not a whole lot, but it lathers pretty well. The thing about the soap is, I don't even know what it is. It feels like it's more old timey than any other soap. Cause like the shower gets slippery as fuck when I'm showering with that soap. And yeah. With anything else.
So it has a lot of oil in it.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But it's great. And because it's made with cocoa butter or with cocoa leaves and beans, it's caffeinated. So it's very uplifting when you take your shower in the morning to release all that gunk. It's great. It's great. I love it. And it smells great.
Is it a softer soap? Meaning when you're like smushing it around in your hands, does like the amount of friction and water, will the bar actually dissipate real quick? Unlike an Irish Spring that'll last, you know, 2-3 months.
Nah, dude. So let me tell you. I don't think I'm using this soap correctly, because I've seen people talk about how to use the soap, and apparently they want you to like cut it into pieces and like almost try to knead it before you use it. I'm not doing that. I'm just using the fucking bar, and it's great because of the contents of it, the materials used. It's also a great exfoliator. So it's actually really good for people with like psoriasis and eczema and stuff like that, because it gets rid of some of that stuff.
Nice.
And your skin feels great afterwards.
I might need you to, where do you buy this?
You can buy it anywhere. I ordered mine on Amazon because they had like whatever, 2 or 3 packs or whatever.
I need you to send me that Amazon link so I don't get a shady third party BS choice. Cause I want to buy some of this. Cause my mom has bad skin problems. I want to buy it and send it to her. Yeah. This sounds perfect.
Let me see if I can find it. The one that I am using is, and there's many different brands.
That's what I'm worried about. And I don't want to get something that like, oh, Martin Ferretti made this and just calls it West African soap.
No, it's called Shea Moisture African Black Soap Bar.
Okay. Yeah. Send that my way.
Yep. Sure will. Sure will.
Thank you.
But yeah, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. I love it.
Hey, can I go back to your beard shaving for a sec? Mm-hmm. Here up around Chicagoland, there's a lot of fancy barbers that you can head into, and they are barber shops that specialize in beards. Mm. Would you ever go to a barber shop like that for the very first, I need to trim this and sculpt this down? And if I go to a the reason I ask is this is the thought process in my head. If I go to this professional, see how they do it, like what they do, I can just sort of like, they gave me the roadmap. Now from this point forward, I can follow that roadmap. Cause you mess up a beard.
Yeah. Then you're boy. Screwed.
Yeah. Oh boy.
I don't know yet. I don't know yet. Once it gets heftier, I'm going to consider it.
Gotcha.
But for right now, I'm not worried about it.
Cause there are some guys that know exactly how the hair is coming in. This is what I would do with it. You know, what do you want to do? Or do you want to accent your face? How do you want it to look? You know, it's like, shoot, there's so many questions. I'm pretty much a dum-dum, and I probably never thought of any of these questions. So,
well, I'm going to tell you, Nick, and I know this from experience. I've only done it once. Let me see. About 12 years ago, I lived with two Marines, and living with these guys, I learned that if you want your hair done properly, like, you know, extremely clean, cut lines, all that stuff, the best place to go is to a black barber shop. Cause those guys know how to make a fucking line.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I didn't believe it. But Nash is like, yeah, I'm gonna go get my hair cut. He's like, you guys wanna come? And, I was like, yeah, I guess I need a haircut too. He's like, well, I use this black barber shop down, I don't remember what the name of the road was. And I was like, really? Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, dude. He's like, they give you the cleanest haircut you'll ever have. I was like, all right, whatever. I'll come. And I mean, you know, Marines, right? Like, they got to be in tip top shape with their hair. Cause it's very important when you're fighting a war that your hair looks great. And it's true. It's true. They're very meticulous about the hair cutting. So
very good.
Yeah. Yeah. So you brought up a friend of the show, Bill Bomer, earlier.
Uh-huh.
He's about to have a heart attack because, as you know, I recently experimented and thought about going back to a vegetarian diet.
Uh-huh.
And as you know, friend of the show, Bill Bomer, is a vegetarian, has been for a long time. Looks great, uh-huh. right? His body's a wonderland. We know this.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So
check and check.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, interesting. Well, let me tell you, Nick, going into one of these rabbit holes that I quite often go into as of recently. I discovered the polar opposite of Bill Bomer's diet, and I have discovered the carnivore diet, and let me tell you, it's fantastic.
The carnivore diet.
Yes, the carnivore diet, as seen on Joe Rogan's podcast.
Oh no, he's down a Rogan hole!
Yeah. I didn't listen to the podcast, but I did catch some clips when I was doing some research. But it was actually really fascinating. And, if you get a chance, to do some research on it, I don't know how true any of this is, right? And I don't know how healthy this really is. I found some really interesting, like, scientific evidence and studies on this stuff, about how a lot of, plants create, you know, you hear about this all the time, right? Like, when I was growing up, like you had to, tomatoes were great right? Tomatoes are great for your skin. Like, they had cancer-fighting properties, this, that, and the other. And then, like, 10 yeah. years later...
Remember when tomatoes actually had flavor to them?
Yeah, when they had flavor.
Remember that? Before GMOs.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember this, and you might, because you're a couple years older, but you remember how different bananas were, like, 20, 30 years ago?
Oh, heck yeah.
Bananas are not different anymore. Every banana is exactly the same. And the reason for that is, I think it was either in the 70s or the 80s, there was like a fungal epidemic on banana trees. And like bananas were going extinct because they were being ravaged by this fungus. And so they genetically modified bananas to fight this fungus. And so now all banana trees are actually the same tree. They're all clones of each other. There's not like a banana species. It's just like this one tree. Well, this one banana tree produces, well, not like the one tree. Like, there's millions of trees. But all the banana trees are clones of this one tree. And I thought that was interesting. But anyway, so there's like all this research about all the stuff that I love to eat and how harmful it is because of the way that it has evolved over the years, right? So like, we as animals, if we get attacked, we can punch something in the face, right? Like, that's our response to being attacked. Plants can't do that because plants don't punch things in the face. So they've evolved like chemical ways of dealing with predation. And some of the stuff that I love spinach. Like, let me tell you, Nick, if I could just eat one vegetable the entire rest of my life, it would be spinach. Ever since I was a little kid, I've just loved spinach. And spinach is full of nutrients. But apparently there's what's it called? Oxifolate or something. There's a chemical in spinach that can actually kill you. It's literally a poison. Apparently if you eat 5 pounds, for some reason you manage to get 5 pounds of spinach into your stomach, you would die. Anyway, so there's like all this research about like the way that plants fight, being eaten.
Isn't that the same thing, like arsenic is found in trace amounts of
in
rice,
apples?
That type of thing?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, kind of the same thing. So anyways, like I said, I don't know how healthy it is or how real any of this stuff is, but I'm going to start experimenting with this carnivore diet this weekend. And it might be okay.
Joe Rogan.
Let me tell you, there is literally no vegetables in this diet.
Holy cow.
The diet consists of the following. Red meat of any kind. Okay. Ground beef or steak or ribeyes, whatever.
What?
Red meat.
Okay.
Fish, particularly fatty fish. So like salmon, sardines, mackerel, that kind of stuff. What was the other one? Oh, eggs, pork products, in particular bacon, and then salt, pepper, and spices. That's it.
Jeez.
That's it.
Really?
Yeah, really. Apparently, like, it fills you up, so you don't eat as much as you used to.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. I'm gonna try this out. I'm very curious.
That sounds like it's going against all of the diet science of the last couple decades.
Yeah, well, also very true. I did do some research into this as well. And really, it seems like some of the stuff that we have on our must eat, like, list or whatever, maybe because of the stuff that we are eating, right? So for example, like the one thing that came up a lot was scurvy, a popular topic on the Geek Brunch podcast. Because, you know, if you don't eat vitamin C, you get scurvy, and scurvy is terrible. Like your gums start receding, like your skin breaks out. It's horrible. You can die from scurvy. But apparently, glucose uses the same receptor in your brain as vitamin C, because the chemical structure is almost identical except for like a hydrogen atom or whatever. So if you don't have glucose in your system, your body actually absorbs every little bit of vitamin C that it gets. So you need like 50% of the vitamin C that you normally need on an omnivore diet or a vegetarian diet.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm going to try this out. Cause there's shit on this fucking eating list that I love and I never eat. For example, like organ meats. I know people are going to be like, Martin eats organ meats. I don't eat organ meats because my wife thinks it's disgusting. But let me tell you, I love me some motherfucking liver.
Yeah, it's delicious.
So I'm going to put some liver in my diet. It's very good, by the way. Vitamin C, iron, a lot of stuff.
Good.
I'm going to see if I can find some other stuff. I'm going to start making like, broths and stuff with, leftover bones because, you know, bone marrow is very good for you. I don't know. It seems very interesting. So some of the science that I've read on it rings legit to me from what I know about nutrition. Some of it just seems like there's no way this will fucking work.
Hey, it's fun to try.
But we'll see. I like to experiment.
Yeah, give it a shot.
I like to
experiment. Give it a shot.
Anyways, I think it's time to wrap up, Nick.
Oh, all right.
It's time to wrap up. You've been listening to the Nerdy Legion Podcast. Nick Wetmore. Of course, you can find us on Twitter at Nick Wetmore, at Geekvine, at Nerdy Legion. And we'll be back next week. I'm going to be taking a podcasting break, by the way. We didn't talk about this. We're not going to talk about this. But I'm going to take a week or two off of podcasting. But we'll still be here next week because I'm going to convince Nick to record before then. And that's it. Catch you next time.